past? Is this some feeling somebody made me feel? Watch this carefully. Nobody can make you feel guilty. I have to either choose to feel guilty on the basis of what they say or do, or I can choose not to feel guilty. If I'm not guilty, I can choose not to feel guilty. If I have disobeyed the law of God, the Holy Spirit's not going to let me out of that because I'm going to be convicted of that. I'm going to have to deal with that. And so I will say, maybe I feel guilty about this. I must be willing to trace it to its source. What is the source? Somebody says, well, here's what I did yesterday. Well, then let's deal with yesterday. Well, you know, so 2 weeks go by. Well, I dealt with that. Do I still feel guilty? Well, what are you guilty about? Well, you see, if you can't put your finger on the source, you're going to keep on feeling guilty. Listen, there is a source. It may be false or it may be true. Listen carefully. If it is a sin that you've committed, whether it's just between you and yourself or between you and someone else, only you and God, between something you did before God, whatever it might be, because all sin is before Him, then you have to trace it back to this is what I did, or this is what I am doing, and this is what I keep on doing. So you've got to identify. Until you identify, you'll still have those feelings. Then when you've acknowledged, yes, I do have these guilty feelings. Yes, this is exactly what is causing me to feel guilty. Then what do you do with it? If it's something in your life, if you violated the law of God, here's what I would do. I would say, Lord, I just want to thank you that on the cross Jesus atoned for my sin, took my guilt, past, present, future, all my sin. I want to thank you for that forgiveness. Now I'm coming to you, confessing and acknowledging this in my life, thanking you for your forgiveness for me, and I choose to walk away from that. So if that is the issue of guilt, I'm going to confess it, I'm going to repent of that. I'm going to choose to walk away from that and walk in obedience to God. You know what happens? You disconnect from that guilt. In other words, you disconnect. Why? Because you have affirmed your forgiveness before God, what God has forgiven you for. What you and God have dealt with, you don't have to have any guilty feelings about. You don't have to have any feelings about your salvation. He dealt with that a long time ago. You trusted Him as your personal Savior forever. That was settled. He took your guilt and your sin upon Himself. Now when sin crops into our life, what do we do? We're confessing these feelings that we have because they don't fit who we are in Christ Jesus anymore. And we confess it and we repent of it and we move on in our life. That's the only way to deal with it. You can't cover it up. You see, now watch this. A person can live with guilt and no one else know what they feel guilty about. But the consequences are going on all the time. So how do you deal with it? You face it. You identify it. Is this false? If this is false, Lord, I just want to, Father, just forgive me for even thinking that kind of stuff in my life. I just want to thank you for your love and your forgiveness and your cleansing. But if there's something that you keep holding on to, ask God. Say, Lord, I've trusted you for the forgiveness of my sins. I know that I'm forgiven. I want you to enable me to disconnect from the past. No matter what they said about me, no matter what they did to me, no matter how much I was abused, no matter how much I was falsely accused, no matter what happened in my life, no matter how sinful I was, disconnect. How? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has washed you clean, and now you have the righteousness of Christ in your life. You and I have the gift of His righteousness, so that now we daily walk in confession and repentance. What? To keep our life clean, to keep our conduct clean, to keep our behavior clean. We are not guilty sinners. We are righteous saints, made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, well, isn't that being pious and prideful? No, that's being grateful and understanding the marvelous work of the grace of Almighty God. So I simply want to say to you, my friend, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, know in your heart that you've never done it, you do feel guilty. And your guilt is right, because the wages of sin is death. If you're willing to ask Him to forgive you of your sins based on what He did at Calvary and tell Him that you're turning your life over to Him, He will save you in that moment, forgive you, declare you no longer guilty. Now listen, you say, but now what about, what about, yes, every single solitary sin forgiven, pardoned, forever, disconnected, totally. You know what? Remember this. God does not bring up what He has forgiven us for, and what He has delivered us from, what He has pardoned us for. He does not bring that back up. If the Holy Spirit brings up something in the past, he will bring up what God did for you in that, how He worked in your life through that in order to strengthen your testimony. Because one of the very important factors in dealing with guilt is this, and that is understanding how God has worked it in your life to free you up from those guilty feelings and to weave that into your personal testimony of how God delivered you, set you free, and how now you're able to understand His unconditional love for you and to walk in it. That's the only time He's going to bring it up, when He weaves it into your life for something very good.
Thanks for listening to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. If left unchecked, guilt can have disastrous effects. Examine the root of your feelings and turn to the Lord. He will help you unload the weight of guilt. You can find out more about what took place on the cross of Christ and how that relates to sin and forgiveness at our website, intouch.org. And to listen again, look for the link to Today on Radio on our homepage. Connect to our online bookstore if you'd like to order a copy of Dr. Stanley's complete message, Understanding Those Guilty Feelings. Again, that's intouch.org, or call 1-800-INTOUCH. If you prefer to write, our address is In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia 30357. Today's message helped us understand how God sees us. Hear more about His patient love for us just ahead in today's Moment with Charles Stanley.
Sometimes it feels as if all is lost. Life seems broken, beyond repair. But during those moments, we can have faith that God will heal and redeem our brokenness. In Dr. Stanley's book, Finding God's Blessings in Brokenness, you'll find encouragement to help you stay strong in your faith despite the obstacles. To order, call 1-800-INTOUCH or visit intouch.org/store.
You're listening to In Touch. Making bad choices can make us feel bad, but there's encouragement for believers in A Moment with Charles Stanley.
All of us make mistakes. All of us who want to do the will of God make mistakes. So the question is, if you really and truly want to do God's will He lead you in the right path? And the answer is yes. Well, you say, suppose I make a mistake. Well, you know what Romans 8:28 says, that He causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. Here's what I am absolutely, fully persuaded of. When you and I want to do the will of God, we seek the will of God, we believe we know the will of God, and we do what we believe that God has led us to do, and we misread Him for some reason, then how will God respond? He will take my mistake and turn it for my good. What does He say? He causes all things to work together for good. Does that include my mistakes? Yes. Will it even include my sin? If I am repentant toward God genuinely, even if I sin against Him and my heart is right, and I make a mistake in a moment of weakness, we yield to some temptation, God can take that and turn it for our good. So when you ask the question, can you feel confident that He won't let you make a mistake? No, you may make a mistake. What you want to know is, what is God's response? He'll turn it for your good if you let Him do it.
You can learn more about living in God's grace at intouch.org. And if you are encouraged and equipped today to boldly live out your faith in Christ, we'd like to know. Next week on In Touch, when you face a crisis, do you respond by faith, or do you fall back on your own reasoning power to tell you what to do? Find clarity on how to trust God in all things Monday on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Welcome to Breakpoint, daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Of the thousands of green-clad parade-goers, marchers, and partiers, few know about St. Patrick, the man for whom today's holiday is named. Even fewer still know of the man beyond the legend, who supposedly drove the snakes out of Ireland, and certainly possessed an indomitable faith in Jesus Christ. Back in 2006, Chuck Colson told St. Patrick's story here on Breakpoint in a commentary. Here's Chuck Colson.
Patrick was born in Roman Britain to a middle-class family about 390 AD. When Patrick was a teenager, marauding Irish raiders attacked his home. Patrick was captured, taken to Ireland, and sold to an Irish king, who put him to work as a shepherd. In his excellent book, How the Irish Saved Civilization, Thomas Cahill describes the life Patrick lived. Cahill writes, "The work of such slave shepherds was bitterly isolated, months at a time spent alone in the hills." Patrick had been raised in a Christian home, but he didn't really believe in God. But now, hungry, lonely, frightened, and bitterly cold, Patrick began seeking out a relationship with his Heavenly Father. As he wrote in his confessions, "I would pray constantly during the daylight hours, and the love of God surrounded me more and more." 6 years after his capture, God spoke to Patrick in a dream, saying, "Your hungers are rewarded. You are going home. Look, your ship is ready." What a startling command! If he obeyed, Patrick would become a fugitive slave, constantly in danger of capture and punishment. But he did obey, and God protected him. The young slave walked nearly 200 miles to the Irish coast, and there he boarded a waiting ship and traveled back to Britain and his family. But as you might expect, Patrick was a different person now, and the restless young man could not settle back into his old life. Eventually, Patrick recognized that God was calling him to enter a monastery. In time, he was ordained as a priest, then as a bishop. Finally, 30 years after God had led Patrick away from Ireland, he called him back to the Emerald Isle as a missionary. The Irish of the 5th century were a pagan, violent, and barbaric people. Human sacrifice was commonplace. Patrick understood the danger and wrote, "I am ready to be murdered, betrayed, enslaved, whatever may come my way." Cahill notes that Patrick's love for the Irish shines through his writings. He worried constantly for his people, and not just for their spiritual, but for their physical welfare. Through Patrick, God converted thousands. Cahill writes, "Only this former slave had the right instincts to impart to the Irish a new story, one that made sense of all their old stories and brought them a peace they had never known before. Because of Patrick, a warrior people lay down the swords of battle, flung away the knives of sacrifice, and cast away the chains of slavery." As it is with many Christian holidays, St. Patrick's Day has lost much of its original meaning. Instead of settling for parades and cardboard leprechauns and the wearing of the green, we ought to recover our Christian heritage, celebrate the great evangelist, and teach our kids about this Christian hero.
That was Chuck Colson from 2006 talking about St. Patrick. To learn more about this incredible man of faith and his consequential life, please check out the Breakpoint interview between Shane Morris and T.M. Moore, former colleague of Chuck's and the author of a book entitled Celtic Flame, The Burden of St. Patrick. And from all of us, happy St. Patrick's Day. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. For more resources to live like a Christian in this cultural moment, go to ColsonCenter.org.
Breakpoint is made possible by generous gifts from listeners like you. You can support this daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth on our website, breakpoint.org/podcast. That's breakpoint.org/podcast.
New Beginnings Funeral Home in Pembroke Pines alerts listeners that 22 veterans take their lives every day. Together, we can win this war against veteran suicide. Join the effort to encourage our veterans by reminding them there is hope. If you are a veteran in crisis or you know a veteran battling an enemy within, please call for help or emergency services. That message of support is from New Beginnings Funeral Home in Pembroke Pines, where they are reminding our brave veterans, you are not alone.